My dear friends, it's good to be with you again, and I have to say to you, I missed you all. You know, when you're away the distance that I am in Gaspé, many, many hours and many, over 1,000 kilometers away, I pray for you and pray for the ministries of this place, because what you are embarked on is not unlike the work that was being done all those centuries ago by St. Patrick. One of the reasons why we're using these lessons and speaking about St. Patrick is because of the important work that he did as a saint in blazing trails into pagan territories, speaking about Jesus Christ and drawing people to know Jesus. Even those who were his enemies and who took him away and put him in captivity for a period of years, he went back to those very same people, and showing the love of Christ brought them to know Christ and changed their lives forever. And this, my dear friends, is precisely what you are doing now. All these many centuries later, you have been seized with a vision of what it means to live in a place where Jesus is not known, where the Bible is not read, where prayers are not said. And you are going now from this place out into the community to talk to people about Jesus, the Jesus that you know, the Jesus that you seek, and the Jesus that you ask for to give you power by God's Holy Spirit. We look at the scriptures today, and particularly the gospel. And I have to tell you, with fear and trembling, I approach this particular passage in the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew because of one sentence. You know, usually when we come to church on Sunday, we are in a situation in which we read the scriptures and it seems reasonably self-evident what the meaning of the scriptures are. But this particular day, we have this incredible challenge to us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. But it's that last sentence at the end of that particular passage. You remember what it says? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And as soon as we read that or hear those words, the Bible closes and we go off and have a coffee. Because we immediately think, now come on, perfect, like your heavenly Father is perfect. But you see, the problem is not the concept, because the problem ultimately is language. This is Greek, we're English, this has been translated from the Greek. In the Greek, it's teleos. And what that means is something very different to the Greeks of that time. For instance, if you look at some of St. Paul's letters, we read, for instance, in 1 Corinthians, yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. So maturity, okay? Let those of us who then are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. And we read in Hebrews, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. In other words, this whole sense of perfection, as it is put into the scriptures, is a different idea than we have about perfection and what perfection means. You know, you sit at the table and you have a wonderful meal, in particular the dessert, and you say, that dessert was perfect. Well, that's not the perfection that we're talking about in the scripture here. You remember that in the scriptures that we have parallel passages in the synoptic gospels. So we Matthew and Mark and Luke. Many times there are passages that are mirror images, treated slightly differently, but basically the same. And here it is the same in Luke. In Luke, we have for that last sentence, instead of, you know, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, we have be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Now, mercy, compassion, understanding, acceptance, all of these things are put into that passage so that when Matthew is saying be perfect, he means be as God is. You are the image of God. But how are you the image of God? You're the image of God in as much as you do God's will and follow God in your practices and respond to each other in love. That is really the issue. Now, I do slightly apologize to have to go and talk about the language issue, but you can't evade it sometimes. If you're going to understand the scriptures, you have to look at these things and try to understand, well, what is really being said in this passage? But now, my friends, we move on to other things. We move on to you. You are in an amazing and exciting process of transformation. For the last number of years, you have had the beginning of a vision, the beginning of living your collective lives as Christian in a way that is going to change you, transformation, but also change the community that you're part of. For years, and this is true of churches across Canada in the Anglican Church, we came here from our various disparate areas, and we came and we worshiped together, we were a community together, and we derived the benefits of that. Because it was wonderful to be with other Christians and respond to God's call. But God's call changes, and the people of God change. Not the same people are here in these pews now that were in the pews here 25 or 30 years ago. And the same out there. That community is different. Different stores and different kinds of things are on offer. I mean, I'm amazed at how many bars that you have out there. I mean, if you like beer, boy, is this the place to live. So everything is changed and everything is different. But we now know that if the words of the Bible and if a relationship with Jesus is to be a reality in this place, then it has to be a reality out there. And you've taken that on. I remember when I came here 2.5 years ago to lead a retreat, a parish retreat, many of the leaders came and we talked about the church and what it meant to be the church and be a Christian community. And even there was that wonderful thought about, well, let's do something different. Let's engage differently. And there was a kind of an excitement as the beginning of thoughts of, well, we'll do this and we'll do that. And now those things have traction. I was with the parish council on Saturday, and they were talking about your annual vestry meeting. My gosh, I wish I had been there. What a wonderful time people had. There was a sense of openness, a sense of hope, of committedness. There was a sense that the future was there for us. Yes, there are problems. Tell me the community that doesn't have them. In this case, there's a debt that needs to be looked at and responded to. But the fact is, the people of this parish have said, yes, we have that. But we're not going to focus on that to the exclusion of what God is really calling us to do. No. God is calling us to be like Patrick, missionary, out there, being the church as the church was meant to be in the 4th and 5th century and in 2019. And you have taken up that challenge. Now, I got to tell you, I find that wonderful. I find it so hopeful that in the age that we live in, with all the darkness that surrounds us, there is a sense of light and hope and engagement in this place. And so St. Patrick We give you thanks for your leadership and the grace that you bestowed upon those communities that had not heard the name of Jesus. And St. Patrick, be with this congregation as they continue your good service in the years ahead. Amen.